This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
What's up, everyone? We're back. Another episode of the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast. Andrew, we're here. We're back after really one of the wildest days of Ohio State recruiting camp I can remember, whether that was actually physically at camp or away from camp. It has been quite a day this Tuesday, June 21st. How you doing, Andrew? And were you able to keep up with it all from afar?
Yeah, I'm doing well. And I know last week we talked about how I've never actually been to a camp, and it sounds like today's camp would have been a great one to kind of give me my first taste. But I mean, it's just been a wild few days here. I think this last weekend, the official visits this last weekend, we almost looked at it as kind of an appetizer to next weekend, which is going to be even bigger. So it's just an insane time in the Ohio State recruiting world right now.
So I think last weekend was more of the weekend for the deal ceiling to be done with some of those guys. Whereas this weekend is more of like a pitch, the recruiting pitch, why the guys should come here. And I think we'll get into that in a little bit, maybe compare the weekends now that one's in the rear view and one is squarely, you know, in the focus. But here, let's just recap what happened on Tuesday. So Stacy Gage, really talented running back, does a private workout, five-star 2024, does a private workout with Tony Alford at, let's say, 1 o'clock. I had just finished eating lunch. It was probably about 1 o'clock. So about 1:45, I head back into the Woody and I see Dylan Raiola walking with Carnell Tate, who we didn't know was going to be there. So you have a five-star 2024 commit and a five-star 2023 now commit talking to each other. And you knew that they were going to be able to throw it around a little bit together. 15 minutes later, right when you think that you're settled down and you can go back out and watch the start of the next camp session, Brandon Ennis commits to Ohio State, isn't there because he was just there over the weekend, commits to Ohio State. Fast forward 15 minutes after that, and Dylan Raiola starts the show, as I'll just call it. And Colin Hurley, the 2025 five-star quarterback, starts the show. And there's a Herb Street throwing the ball, and there's a second Raiola throwing the ball around it. Dylan's little brother. And RJ Day is chucking it around. And Carnell Tate's catching passes from all of them. And there were, I think, 5 or 6 4-star receivers there to catch the ball as well. And there were some corners that were really talented. It was just a talented, talented group. And it's one of the coolest days in the building that I can remember, just because you could tell the buzz and the excitement that everyone had. It was really cool to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I just saw some clips and some highlights of today's stuff. And I just, the way that Dylan Raiola looks is just completely wild to me for somebody who's that young. I mean, he's just so like built and thick, and just, he looks completely different than what we've kind of gotten used to seeing just from a body type and an Ohio State quarterback. And he's obviously only going to get bigger over these next few years. But I guess for you just being there, what did you have any big takeaways as far as like the zip on the ball or anything like that, or just any big takeaways from somebody who was in person watching?
So I was standing beside a couple of the other recruiting analysts, and Raiola threw his first pass to his brother. I think it was from 5 yards away, and it just came off of his hand. And one of the guys looked at me and said, "Oh, wow." And I was like, "Yeah, this is going to be something," because it does. It just, like, we talked about it. Berman and I talked about it a lot with Quinn Ewers, and I'm sure you talked about it as well. The ball just kind of flew off of his hand. It was kind of effortless when you were talking about just standing there throwing the ball and the way it looks. And Kyle McCord has a little bit of that too. I think CJ Stroud developed that, but Kyle McCord has it too, where you watch him throw and you just know right away. And Dylan Raiola absolutely has that. And the more he started to throw, it was just very apparent. But right behind him, you know, one of the biggest takeaways for me was like Colin Hurley looks really good for his age. Like that ball is a laser every time it leaves his hand. And that's not to compare him to Dylan Raiola, because I think Raiola is the number one prospect in the country, regardless of class. I don't even think it's close. He is by far and away the best quarterback prospect I've seen camp, but because I never saw Quinn camp and I never saw CJ Stroud camp, but to watch Raiola do his thing and you know, those 1-inch throws over the net and things like that. Like, it was just so impressive. And to have the entire, you know, camp watching him and to be able to do that, it was something. I could talk about it all day, but I think nobody wants to listen to me ramble, and they probably just want to hear how good Brian Hartline is at his job.
Yeah. So if the last 48 hours has taught us anything, it's just that Brian Hartline is the best in the country at what he does. I mean, regardless of position, I think he's the best recruiter in the country. And I mean, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, we've kind of been expecting this over the last few weeks, but it's just, I mean, we can't say enough about what he's done on the trail, what he's going to continue to do. He's already got a few lined up in the class of 2024 that look like they're going to be commitments down the road here at some point in time, but it's just what he's doing on the recruiting trail is unlike anything we've ever seen before, quite frankly.
Absolutely. And I think you can probably just say the offensive skill recruiting, because, you know, Tony Alford took 2020 personally, and since then he has been on an absolute tear on the trail. Ryan Day, obviously, and Corey Dennis do their thing in recruiting, and Corey Dennis doesn't get enough credit for the relationships he builds with these quarterbacks. Both of those guys do such a good job recruiting quarterbacks. And then you look at those receivers, and it's really just absurd. You know, every time Brian Hartline gets another one of these guys, people just ask themselves, why do they all come? And you know, I was talking about on a radio interview this morning, and it's just that competitive excellence. Like, these guys want to be great, and to be great, they're around other great guys. And Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis are going to be, you know, surrounded by great talent. And Bryson Rogers, who is going to be slept on in this class, and I beg people not to do that because he's very, very talented. You know, I think Ohio State is really lucky to have him in the class, and he's not going anywhere in the class. But, you know, then you could potentially add a Noah Rogers or a Rico Flores. You still got a couple guys out there who are in the mix there. You talk about 2024, JoJo Trader and Jeremiah Smith. Like, it's not stopping, and it's not slowing down. I think that's the scariest thing for people is, like, you know, you see these runs slow down sometimes, like, you know, the Alabama defensive backs, the Ohio State defensive backs, you know, different places have the runs, Georgia defensive line. Like, Ohio State is not slowing down with offensive skill talent. And that's just, it's almost just the start of it, because you're seeing these 4- and 5-star guys that Hartline's recruited. They're just now getting to playing time. They're just now getting to the NFL draft. Like, he's just going to continue to build a case for guys to continue to come there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that Hartline does that's so great is he gets these guys that are different types of receivers. Like, Brandon Ennis kind of looks like he's kind of got average size, like 6 foot, maybe 6'1", looks like somebody who can play in the slot or on the outside, maybe like a Jaxon Smith-Njigba type. And then you've got Carnell Tate, who's more like 6'2", and probably projects more of an outside guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. And it's just, you know, just so many different pieces that he's got lined up for these next few years. And the future of the passing game is just scary right now. And I know you mentioned Noah Rogers, and that was kind of a weird situation this past weekend. He was on that list of official visitors that was supposed to be coming to town. And I know we've heard this before from a lot of the Southern guys, like they'll claim that there's flight issues or there's travel problems. And sometimes you just kind of roll your eyes and you just say, well, that kid was never going to come to Ohio State anyway. I think the Noah Rogers situation is completely different. I think there were definitely some travel difficulties. I know something like thousands of flights were delayed or canceled late last week. So instead of making the trip to Columbus, he took an unofficial visit to NC State, where he's been probably 24 times right now. And he hung out with some of his high school buddies and friends there. I don't think that there's any reason to worry on that recruitment still. I really don't. I think that Brian Hartline wants him to be the 4th wideout in the class that would complete the class. And I think here in the next 48 hours, we're going to know definitively what Rogers is going to do, because Rico Flores, the California receiver, is supposed to make his official visit this weekend. And if that visit does happen, then I think maybe there's some uncertainty on the Noah Rogers front. So,
and if that's not to say that Rico Flores is a consolation prize, because he's a really talented player, which is just crazy to think about that. But I agree. If Rico Flores visits, I think Rico Flores might be in the class and Noah Rogers might be on the outside looking in. And I know that's going to be weird, especially, you know, if Notre Dame fans ever listen to this show, like, Notre Dame's in a really good spot for Rico Flores. I'm just here to tell you, if Rico Flores visits Ohio State, that recruitment might be done. And so this is going to be a very, very fascinating 72 hours for Brian Hartline. to get those things sorted out.
Yeah. I mean, Rico Flores is he could be like the crown jewel of a receiver in a normal non-Brian Hartline receiving haul. And I know Notre Dame fans are just kind of on pins and needles now waiting to see if he does make that flight to Columbus. I know he canceled his visit to Georgia, but this next 48 hours is going to be kind of pivotal, because I think they're going to try to get an answer from Rogers, from Noah Rogers, to either commit publicly or tell them that he's in. He's supposed to visit North Carolina this weekend. I kind of would be surprised if he doesn't do that, just because his brother is there. So I think if we do not see Rico Flores visiting this weekend, then that is going to tell us all we need to know about Noah Rogers being in and the 23 Ohio State receiver class being finished, basically.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we can kind of maybe pivot a little bit to the guys who are going to be protecting those skill guys, because the 23 receiver class seems to be pretty cut and dry. The 23 interior offensive line class is pretty cut and dry. I think it's full. The 2023 offensive tackle class is as wide open and interesting as I think I've ever seen a tackle recruiting, you know, search in Ohio State. Maybe you've got a story of, you know, when they were trying to find a tackle, maybe the Jackson Carman, you know, Nicholas Petit Frere recruitment comes to mind, but I haven't seen as much uncertainty as to who's going to visit, you know, in a long time. And you talk about, I want to say his name, but I don't want to butcher it, so I'm sorry. Oluwatson Babalade officially visited last weekend. The weekend before that, you had a visitor, Miles Walker, the official visit, and he's, you know, a three-star guy, but Ohio State really likes his upside. And I talked about how, you know, maybe he could be like a crown, not needle in the haystack, but an underrated gem in this class when it's all said and done. But now this weekend takes a different turn, and you have one of the big guns on campus. You've got Olosalin, and, you know, a four-star Connecticut offensive tackle who is one of the top 10, 15 tackles in the country, depending on who you ask. And that's the kind of player that Justin Fry and Ryan Day and Ohio State need in this class. They absolutely need talented tackles who can step in and be, you know, a backup tackle or potentially a starter in the first 2 years on campus. Olosalin is a big one, and that's not to diminish what Miles Walker and the other tackle were in the last 2 weekends, but Olas is a big, that's a big visit.
Yeah. I think in terms of just the most important visitors this upcoming weekend, I mean, he's right up there toward the top of the list. I think Ohio State kind of got a bit of good news earlier this week. There was a four-star tackle from Alabama who was kind of trending towards Old Miss, but then he committed to Alabama. I think it was on Monday. So Alabama is the other main competition in the Olosalinen sweepstakes. So that was kind of good to see Alabama, you know, get another tackle committed. So, but in terms of just the offensive tackle class in general, I mean, Justin Fry is still relatively new, but they need to add somebody like an Olosalinen and then maybe like a Miles Walker to be more of a long-term, maybe more of a project type. And then Luke Montgomery, we keep saying, we don't know if he's going to be an inside guy or an outside guy, but this is going to be a big weekend for Justin Fry.
And if, you know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise if Luke Montgomery becomes a tackle. And I think it would be a good thing for Ohio State. Luke looks like he's beginning to form into a tackle. He's growing into a tackle's body. You know, I think his dad would be okay with him being a tackle. I've talked a little bit to Mike. You know, he kind of seems open to the idea of maybe he's not a guard. Maybe he's a tackle. Maybe he's a swing guy who can play either. That versatility will help him definitely at Ohio State, definitely when he gets to the next level, if he can get that far. But to have a big name at tackle on campus the same time Luke Montgomery is, that's big, because Luke Montgomery is the bona fide leader in this recruiting class, you know, and he needs to make that pitch as clear as possible to Olosalin and like, hey, Ohio State needs you in this class. It's not a want. It's not a luxury like maybe Alabama has. It's a need, and that's going to be big. And I guess that's where you can kind of pivot to the official visit weekend. We've got to break this down. I can't help but, you know, I don't want to gloss over last weekend. It was a big one. But like you said, it was really an appetizer when you compare it to what's about to come on campus this weekend. I actually haven't told you this, but we're going to each pick, go, you know, one by one and pick five guys that we're just like really intrigued by that are visiting this weekend. Do you have the list in front of you?
Got it right up here.
All right, perfect. So, okay. So I'll let you go first. We're going to pick five guys from the June 24th to 26th official visit weekend. You know, like I said, one at a time, so you don't take all five of mine, but let's go through these and just, you know, that'll give us 10 guys who we're really intrigued by that are going to be visiting.
Okay. My number one pick, I think, is the kind of the easy choice. Who's probably the most important visitor this weekend, coming off his official visit to Alabama. That's going to be five-star Georgia safety Caleb Downs. So he's at the top of my list, even with two safeties already committed. I mean, he might be the best defensive player in the country, regardless of position. So getting him on campus for his last official visit, he wants to decide before the season starts. And that's just, it's just a huge visit.
So I'm glad that you took Caleb Downs, because the people already know my feelings on Caleb Downs. They're very public. They're out in the open. You can go see him on Caleb Downs' On Three ratings page, because I have him, of course, or I have him RPM'd to Ohio State. So you kind of took that from me, and I appreciate that. So I don't feel the pressure of taking him. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Troy Bowles, Florida linebacker. A lot of buzz about his visit coming up. I know that that has seemed to maybe trend away from Ohio State a little bit, but I think that's just because his visit to Ohio State comes at the end of the month rather than at the beginning of the month. I think Ohio State feels really good about where they're at with Troy Bowles. And, you know, if other schools have been able to come here with Troy, Ohio State can get back up in that lead, because I think they did lead for him at one point. And I think they might be able to retake the lead. I'm not saying it's he's going to lock it down after this visit, but I do think there's an opportunity for Jim Knowles, for that defensive staff, those high energy guys that are under Knowles, to show him exactly the plan for him. And, you know, former NFL guys and NFL guys like Todd Bowles, they like how Ohio State teaches things. They like the developmental plan. They know what Ohio State can do for guys. Don't sleep on Troy Bowles as a potential guy who comes out of this visit, you know, feeling good about Ohio State and Ohio State feeling good about him.
Yep, that's a good pick. I'm going to stick with the linebacker position. My number two guy will be Tackett Curtis, the Louisiana linebacker. He again, it seems like it's Ohio State, it's Wisconsin, it's USC. Jim Knowles has been on that one for a long time. He was a top target when he was at Oklahoma State still. For him to make it up here this weekend, it's one of the biggest weekend visitors. I think that despite those other two schools kind of being mentioned the most, I still feel like maybe LSU is actually the school that's kind of concerning me the most. He took an unofficial visit there a few weeks back. His family, I think, is like season ticket holders down in Baton Rouge. But if they can lock him up and lock maybe Troy Bowles up, then that's a solid linebacker class for Jim Knowles in his first full cycle.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
All right. That's a great pick. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there. That's why I'm going to flip it to the other side of the ball. And I'm going to take a little bit of a surprise pick. People think this is almost like a, I don't know, maybe like a charity visit, but it's actually not that at all. I'm going to go four-star, maybe five-star. Let's see. No, very high four-star, number 45 player in the On3 consensus. Running back Justice Haynes from Georgia. This is a guy who is a Georgia legacy, who lives down in Georgia, and is almost like just thought to be a lock to the Bulldogs. But I've got a weird feeling about this one. Ohio State is really confident with where they sit with Justice Haynes. They feel really good about this upcoming visit. And, you know, Ohio State is pretty honest with itself when it's recruiting guys like this. They kind of understand how this is going to all end up. And with the Justice Haynes recruitment, it just doesn't seem like there's that sense that they know where this is going to end up trending. And that makes you think that they feel like they can actually make an impression on Justice Haynes. You know, he's a guy who his dad has, like I said, played for Georgia, played a little bit in the NFL. His sister did not stay in the state of Georgia to go to college. This is not a family that has, you know, strict allegiances to Georgia, despite those bloodlines being from, you know, down in Athens in the program. So Ohio State has a big chance here. Like I said, Tony Alford's been on a tear on the recruiting trail. Justice Haynes will be the perfect second back with Mark Fletcher. This visit is bigger than people are giving it credit for, and I'm excited to see where it goes after the visit.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I think if somebody asked us to give one name that nobody's expecting to end up at Ohio State, who ultimately will, I feel like, not that we're putting in RPM picks or anything like that, but people need to start paying more attention to the Justice Haynes recruitment. And this weekend, he was at Bama last weekend. This weekend's going to be absolutely huge there. My third guy, I'm going to stick in the state of Georgia. Kayan Lee, the four-star cornerback previously committed to Georgia. I think he's visited Florida and a few other places of late, but Ohio State's the RPM leader right now. I think he could be the guy to kind of complement Dijon Johnson there at cornerback. So big weekend for four-star corner Kayan Lee. So Tim Walton, Perry Eliano will be all over that one.
Yeah. And when you talk about Kayan Lee, Ohio State hired Miguel Patrick as on its support staff in its building, former Kayan Lee coach at Cedar Grove down in Georgia. So he's got some ties here in Columbus and he's not going to feel uncomfortable. He's going to really, I think he's going to enjoy that visit. I think Ohio State's going to really put the full court press trying to get him to, you know, to become part of that Tim Walton cornerback room. You're making this tough on me because he was my next guy. So I think I'm going to take – I'm not going to take Olas because we already talked about him. I think that's a little cheap. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to take Jason Moore, the defensive lineman, out of Maryland, out of DeMatha Catholic. This is a guy who, you know, defensive ends from DeMatha, they're going to consider Ohio State no matter what. But the current RPM projection has him going to Notre Dame, you know, in a runaway recruitment. I don't think that's the case. I think Ohio State has a chance to really show him some things on this visit. Larry Johnson does a really good job on these visits of just sitting those guys down, breaking down the film with them and giving them something that you don't see in a lot of programs. Well, first of all, because he's Larry Johnson, but second of all, just the way he orchestrates his visits is just different. And I think he's got a chance to do that with Jason Moore, make an impression on him. And this could be a recruitment that starts to tilt a little bit, maybe toward one of those, you know, Ohio State's creeping up for a top rated defensive end recruitments. That it just feels like it's going to trend that way. I'm pretty intrigued to see exactly how this goes. I think Jason Moore is going to be a big part of this visit weekend.
Yeah, that's a good pick too. I'm going to stick on the defensive line and stick in the state of Georgia here. I'm going to go with four-star defensive lineman, Darren Reed. I know he visited, I think, LSU recently, and there's been some kind of pro LSU buzz. But with only one defensive lineman committed right now in Will Smith Jr., getting some more guys in the fold there is going to be huge for Larry Johnson. So I will take Darren Reed as Ohio State tries to kind of fight off some of those SEC schools for him.
Yeah, and he's a guy who took an official to Clemson, which you don't see a lot of guys take officials to Clemson, especially in June. Official to LSU, like you said, then official to Miami. Not really a lot of movement there in that recruitment. Ohio State could maybe take the lead there, you know, in short order. That's a really good pick. I'm going to go a little maybe off the wall and just take maybe a shot in the dark here. I'm going to go Jelani Thurman, the tight end from Georgia. I know this is kind of weird because Ohio State's already got one tight end. He's a really talented kid. But I just have a feeling that Ohio State's going to want that second tight end. We talk about it every year. Do they take two tight ends? Well, the depth there is a little interesting right now, and Ohio State has a good chance to make that impression. Ty Lockwood was on campus last weekend. They know how good he can be. Jelani Thurman's a guy who, again, doesn't really have a lot of those allegiances inside the state of Georgia. Right now, you know, the RPM's all over the place for him. Maybe Ohio State starts to take the lead in that. I know Kevin Wilson wants another top tight end target. He's not going to settle for one, so if they don't get one in this, he's just going to move on to 24. But if they can make an impression with Jelani Thurman, everyone knows I like talking about the weird positions. Not a lot of people do. I'm gonna beat that drum a little bit and talk about Jelani Thurman. I think he could really creep up on people's boards after this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I'm gonna stick with a cornerback and say four-star Christian Gray from St. Louis, Missouri. Seems like Notre Dame has all the buzz with him, but I think he's announcing on the 4th of July and Ohio State is scheduled to get his last official visit this weekend. So maybe he's another guy who could be back there with Dijon Johnson. We'll see. But if it's Ohio State versus Notre Dame for a position like wide receiver or cornerback, Usually you like Ohio State's chances, but he does seem to be a pretty, he does seem to be leaning the Irish right now. So we'll see if Ohio State can change the tune of that recruitment.
I think it's interesting that Ohio State's hosting he and Kay and Lee in the same weekend. That's an interesting way that they did that. Maybe they didn't mean to, maybe they didn't want to do it that way. They had to, but to have both those guys on campus, I think you walk away from this weekend probably feeling good about one of them, maybe not the other. Right. But I'm going to finish this off maybe with a cheapie, but I think he's the most important player in the class. I think it's way too important not to talk about the fact that the official visit of Luke Montgomery is happening this weekend. It's not that there's any sort of trouble there. I'm not saying that at all. But Ohio State not only gets to have him on the official visit and finally pay for everything that Luke has done, maybe pay him back a little bit for what he's done for this class so far, and host him and, you know, give him the nice dinners and the nice nice rides around Columbus, stuff like that. But also, he's going to be such a pivotal part of the pitch. I mean, I don't think people realize, you know, we talked about CJ Hicks as Captain Buckeye. We talked about Kyle McCord as the guy who is leading that class. I don't think people realize just how much of a recruiter Luke Montgomery is. He's a talkative kid who loves to be at camps just so he can get in the ear of top prospects. He loves the Twitter talk. He loves being the guy who's always tweeting the emojis at all the recruits. He is such a big part of what the Buckeyes are trying to do in this 2023 class. And I think to have him on campus, not just to try to recruit Olas Alenin, but all of these guys that are on campus, like, they don't just have to talk to coaches. They can talk to Luke Montgomery, who's already in the fold. He's going to be a big part of this weekend, and that's why he's my fifth guy. Nothing to do with any sort of funny business going on there. I just think he's way too important not to mention in this show.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. He was right in the middle of all the Carnell Tate and Brandon Innes stuff these last 48 hours too, just tweeting things and that kind of stuff. I've still got tweet notifications turned on for Luke Montgomery, and they're just, it's a nonstop barrage of Buckeye emojis and that kind of thing. So that's a good pick on your part.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know, should we wrap it up a little bit? We don't need an in or out, I don't think. I think there's maybe a couple other things we could probably hit on. Let's dive into a little bit. What the biggest takeaway maybe from the last weekend, because I don't want to go way chronologically out of order, but I also don't want to just dismiss what last weekend meant for the program. You talk about Brandon Innes visiting. Rogers was supposed to visit. There was a quarterback on campus. Jermaine Matthews is now, you know, it feels like it could be a matter of time maybe before he joins the class and becomes, you know, locks himself in there. But also Calvin Simpson-Hunt has those ties to Ohio that we kind of hinted at a little bit. Jaden Bonsu was on campus. There was some guys there. Biggest takeaway from the weekend that was last weekend, Andrew.
So I think sometimes when people see recruits coming off an official visit and they don't see like the Brandon Innes commitment coming like 2 days after the visit or whatever, they kind of worry and freak out a little bit. Like, we haven't heard much about Calvin Simpson-Hunt. We haven't heard a whole lot from Jaden Bonsu, other than he canceled his scheduled visit for next weekend it was supposed to be at Texas. I just think there's still like a lot of things going on behind the scenes on those couple recruitments. So just because you have a couple prospects that aren't as vocal on Twitter and that kind of thing, it doesn't mean that good things are not going on kind of behind the scenes. So that's outside of Brian Hartline being the best in the world at what he does. That's kind of the biggest thing that I saw this past weekend. We're still trying to get an answer on quarterback recruiting. I kind of think that's going to happen here in the next couple weeks. Austin Novosad was back at Baylor last weekend. Ohio State hosted Brock Glenn. So I think we could have an answer there here in the next two-ish weeks. So we'll see. I know this isn't the most important quarterback class, but they do need to get a guy. So
I would agree with that. I'm going to maybe stick around the same theme. I didn't expect Calvin Simpson-Hunt to make a lot of noise out of his visit. He is a commit elsewhere. So it's interesting. You know, he probably doesn't want to upset the apple cart and Lubbock too much as a Texas Tech commit. And Jaden Bonsu is not a guy who's really going to be very vocal. He's not going to talk to a lot of media anyways. So, you know, you want to hear about those recruitments because they're so interesting in the grand scheme of the 23 class, but also you don't expect to hear a lot out of those guys. One guy that you do expect to hear a lot out of that is very vocal on social media after his visits that has not been, and I think it's very telling, is Jonel Aguero, the 4- or 5-star borderline guy out of Danvers, Massachusetts. He's not playing there right now, but he is from Massachusetts, and he's a very, very outspoken, you know, not attention seeker, but he's a guy who's not afraid of the spotlight on Twitter or, you know, any social media. And you really haven't heard a lot out of that visit. I think that's pretty telling. I'm not going to rule Ohio State completely out, but I do think it was a little bit of a giveaway that you're not hearing a lot of buzz out of that recruitment. I don't mean to let Ohio State fans down. You know, you still have Caleb Downs coming in. You still have different defensive backs who are very highly rated, who are going to make an impact if they decide to choose Ohio State. Jonah Magero, I do not believe will be one of them. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from the weekend.
Yeah. And worth noting, Ohio State now has the number one class in the country. So that's a good thing.
Well, okay. So there's where we'll end it. There's where we'll end it. I want to know on June 21st, with all of these potential targets, I asked, you know, a couple of different people and I didn't get very good answers. What will it take for this Ohio State class that might end up being in the 27, 28 player range to win the recruiting crown?
Well, first of all, it's going to take Ohio State to be in the 27 to 28 player range, which I really don't think is going to happen. So, I mean, I just think it's the numbers game. Like I'm expecting Ohio State to finish third or fourth, somewhere in there with the final rankings. It's just all about the numbers, you know. How many guys is Texas A&M going to take? How many guys is Alabama going to take? Which I don't even know where Alabama is ranked right now. It's absurdly low, and we know it's not going to end that way. So, I mean, it's not a class where Ohio State's going to have a premier five-star quarterback like next cycle they already do. So I don't know. I just don't really see a path to that happening unless some other schools lose some big-time commitments due to coaching changes or what have you. So I don't know. I don't really have an answer to that because I just don't think it's really in the cards, to be honest.
Well, the one thing that I think is interesting and the one thing that I, you know, the recruiting services really do a great job anymore. You know, I'm not going to, you know, downplay what the other recruiting services are doing at all, because all of them do really the Lord's work for us. We don't really have to worry about much because we can go to the recruiting services and see how good these guys are. But the one thing that I love, I really do love about the On3 database is the score is not a number that can be boosted by taking 31 players.
That's true.
Ohio State is the number one ranked class right now with a score of 93.125. And that is the average commit, because we're not worried about, you know, that you have 32 guys in your class or 29 guys. Like, how good are the players? And so if you talk about it from that angle, I think Ohio State has a chance. If you talk about Caleb Downs, you talk about maybe Justice Haynes coming in the class, you talk about, you know, maybe Landon Olosolinen, like, you're looking at starting to put those pieces together, maybe another top-notch receiver, Noah Rogers or Rico Flores. You talk about Troy Bowles, Tack Curtis. Like, those are really, really talented players. Defensive line's not going to slouch, you know, not going to be a bunch of slouches. And the corners could be really good in this class ended up too. The average score of player is where I've always paid attention to, and that's what I like about this On3 database. And that's why I think Ohio State could end up with the On3 consensus number one class. That's not the recruiting crown that a lot of people always think of when they think of that. But any win Ohio State can get like that, it's going to take. And I'll tell you what, if that does happen, we'll talk about it a ton, obviously, because On3 is our own database, but also because it's a huge accomplishment to have the highest per player average in a class.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And now that you've kind of reminded me of that, they probably can finish with the number one class now that I think about that. I think to get to that point, they need to avoid taking too many project types in the trenches. So offensive line, defensive line, they need to avoid those low three-star type of guys. And I know sometimes those guys pay off. DeJuan Jones is going to be – he's already great. But if they want to finish with the number one class, they need to kind of keep that to a minimum.
And, you know, Will Smith Jr., I think, will receive a ratings bump. He's the lowest rated player in the class. Bryson Rogers, after his recent 7-on-7 performance out in Las Vegas, is going to get a ratings bump. That number one class right now so far could see a little bit of a bump and put some air between Ohio State and Notre Dame for that. We'll see where it ends up. Obviously, Alabama and Georgia and Texas A&M are going to just absolutely kill it because they always do, and that's who they are. Right. But the Buckeyes have a chance. They've got a fighter's chance here, and I don't think they're going to shy away from that fight at all. But I guess that's where we end things tonight. It's a little bit of a longer show. Maybe was it longer? Was it shorter? It's a good good time show. I think we did a pretty good job wrapping everything up. Camp season is over. There's a junior high 7-on-7 that I'm sorry, junior high 7-on-7 goers. Letterman Row will not be there. I've made the decision that I don't think it's necessary. So camp season's in the books. Official visit season is not, and it's a huge weekend upcoming for Ohio State. Andrew and I will probably be back next week to break it all down after what should be just a wild weekend on the trail. But that is Andrew. I am Spencer. This has been the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Letterman Row. Make sure to subscribe, join us on the Letterman Lounge message board, and we will see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.